100 years of the Rochester Hearing and Speech Center. How can it be?
Wow.
It's unbelievable. We had somebody come to our day. They go, you guys don't look a day over 90.
I was going to say, Bob Russell, the executive director, president, what?
President, CEO.
President, CEO. Okay.
But you know me, Dino. You can call me anything.
I just call you Bobby. So what's going on to mark the 100th anniversary of Rochester Hearing and Speech?
Well, truly a pretty amazing, you know, fact that you've got a not-for-profit organization that's been around for 100 years serving the community. This year is really going to be involved with some different pronged approaches of what we're doing. But at the most core of it is it's us telling the story of the agency, but telling it through the eyes of the people that we've served. So through the
like
people
Rachel
that
Rachel Robach sitting next to you?
Like Rachel Robach sitting next to me, who will tell you her amazing story. That's why we've been around for 100 years. And it's amazing to me how many people I still run into that, you know, I've known for years, and they go, oh, I know RHSC because I went there as a child,
right,
or my child has gone there, my parents go there. And I think because we have such a kind of a broad range of services, whether it's hearing with audiology testing, hearing aids, being able to work with hearing conservation, but also on the speech side, the early intervention, speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy. We've touched a lot of people in this community, and it's absolutely great when they want to share what it is that helped shape their lives,
sure,
and where they're
sure.
going. So that's really a big part of this year. Our big event, we're doing our 100th anniversary gala on Saturday, September 10th. It'll be at Locust Hill, and that'll really give us a chance to kind of celebrate all of the people, all of the work that's been done over the years, and really honor some people that in the community have helped to make a difference in the lives of just so many.
Like Rachel, right, Rachel?
Yes.
So, Rachel, tell us how long are you still going through help over there? What do we call it?
Services.
Yes.
So the services I got when I was younger. So I was probably about 3 years old.
Okay.
And I went there for 2 years, and I'll go back a little bit. I was born very early and underdeveloped, and my parents noticed I wasn't talking, and I was kind of playing alone and not improving.
Mm-hmm.
So Strong Hospital hooked us up with Rochester Hearing and Speech Center in their Excel program, and that is kind of like a before school program.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go there for 2 years, and they took me from not speaking to speaking fully, and they couldn't shut me up.
Which is really fun. No wonder your father keeps thanking us for that.
So did you have hearing issues, or
yes.
was it speech? Okay.
So I have hearing issues, but I don't hear certain sounds.
Okay.
And you can kind of hear it in my speech, and I have to remind myself constantly to, like, pronunciate and all that. But I had my teacher, Beth, who was amazing. They also all hooked me up with my first pair of hearing aids, which was great. And then they got me going into school, which was actually a big thing. They told me I wasn't going to do all those things. So
you probably were.
I excelled it.
Right in. Yeah, you were right in the regular school and everything once they got you up to speed, right?
Yeah, I was told I wasn't going to go graduate high school, nothing like that. So to go into school and be in regular classes with students was a huge thing. And I got to move along.
And this was how long ago?
This was probably in 1990.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I was born in 88, so probably around 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you're a cheerleader for Rochester Hearing and Speech Center.
I am. They changed my life, so I wouldn't be where I am now. And my job requires me to talk to people all day.
Right.
I'm a hairdresser, and I get to work with my best friends. And we have this really big community of clients, and I wouldn't be able to speak to them if I didn't get all the training and extra help that they gave me. So
that's wonderful.
Thanks.
That's wonderful.
And I think that that's a big part of this is that, you know, for us, especially with the kids, it's how do we help them to integrate into traditional settings, so
sure.
traditional classroom settings. Because when you have hearing, you have speech delays, you know, it really makes you go into a shell. As Rachel said, you know, her parents noticed she was playing alone. You know, I went through it
she
as
was
a
told
kid.
She wasn't going to graduate high
she
school.
She wasn't going to graduate high school.
How
not
can
look
you tell it,
her.
You know? Yeah.
Yep. So what people, I think, don't fully understand is that it's not there's not a cure for it. You
sure.
always live with it. So my speech impairment, I've lived with it since I was a kid. Part of it is I have to remind myself when I feel myself starting to go into those old habits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, time to pull out the toolbox. And it's no different. I mean, you know, with people that have a stutter, you don't get over it. It's always there, but you learn how to be able to adjust to it. But it's something that's a lifelong journey. It's not like, okay, Rachel came to us for 2 or 3 years. That was the end of it. She's had to work with this her whole life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, especially with the kids, with the part that we do with early childhood intervention, is it's about how do we help them to understand what that journey is going to be like and to help them build that confidence that, yeah, you know what? You might speak a little differently than somebody else. That doesn't make you any less intelligent.
Right.
That doesn't include you in everything else that's going on. It's about how do you learn to be able to cope with your disability.
Sure.
And be able to really have a full life, you know, with that. And, you know, we've got one of our clients who's now a board member of ours. He started coming to us when he was 6 years old because he had a severe stutter. He's in his 70s now. He's retired. It's still there. But he said, this is what set me up so that I could not only go to high school and graduate, I was then able to go to college and graduate. I was then able to be hired by the city of Rochester for my career. It's always there, but I remember what I need to do when I start to find myself in those moments where it's really coming out. And I think that's the most amazing part of Rachel's story, you know, to hear that what she was told she couldn't do.
Right, right.
And then to see what she's accomplished.
Do you have to go back for tune-ups? I mean, or if you ever have an issue, do you go back? And
I think I can. I have not had to.
Right.
Okay. A lot of people don't even know that I'm hearing impaired or that I have a speech impairment. So I think COVID was a gentle reminder that I did, because the mask and everything was very isolating, and I'm happy to wear it, but I kept having to remind people, I can't hear you, I can't, and I also kept having to remind myself to do all the things that I was taught, to like slow down and pronunciate and just talk clearer, because people couldn't understand me, but more people know that
now. I think you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. I try really hard, and I would not be
right.
doing this if it wasn't for Rochester Hearing Speech, but
Yeah, COVID really had an effect on a lot of people, the masking especially.
Sure.
Because a lot of people that have hearing impairments, they use it as one of their tools.
It's an assist, right?
Yeah. And all of a sudden now they couldn't, but also people that have speech impairments, it wasn't even just being able to project loud enough for it to get through the mask for somebody else to hear.
Right.
But it's kind of that feeling of my mouth is isolated behind something, you know, and I found myself going into kind of some bad habits where my speech was getting much looser and I wasn't being able to articulate what I was trying to say as much. So I think that it's brought a light on, and especially for people that are hearing impaired, you know, the number of people that we've had come through our doors just for hearing tests and hearing screenings that maybe hadn't thought about it before, they said it kind of triggered their mind a little bit about, okay, well, maybe my hearing's not that good because I'm having trouble in this environment. And, you know, again, it's a lifelong thing. It's not where somebody comes in. If it's deemed through a test that, you know, hearing aids would help them, that, you know, once you get a pair of hearing aids, that's it. You know, there's maintenance that has to be done.
Sure.
There's a shelf life like any other type of electronic. So, you know, we really work from newborns to seniors are the people that we serve.
I was just going to ask that. It's not just little kids that have issues when they're small.
No.
That come to you, right?
It's newborn to seniors. It's across the board. And, you know, one of the scariest things, statistics that I've seen over the last year is the largest population and demographic for hearing loss, and this is internationally, is starting to be under 30 years of age.
Oh, because of headphones and
headphones, earbuds
and,
when you're gaming, the number of gamers, remember the big cans we used to have for music?
Yeah.
Well, we're hearing that for all the concussions and the car crashes, all the stuff that's in the gaming. So now they're starting to see the effect of it. Are they the first ones that want to come in and get a hearing test and admit? Absolutely not.
No.
But it's how do we help at least get a message in front of them that, you know what, you are doing some damage, and it's better to know so you can work on conserving your hearing, because, you know, once it goes, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's not where,
yeah.
where it's like, oh, it'll, you know, it'll come back, it'll grow back, whatever it is. So we really work hard with people on trying to see where their levels are at to make sure that they're not progressing at an alarming rate mm-hmm. Of hearing loss. And, you know, again, there's help. And I think the hardest thing sometimes is for people just to admit and reach out that, hey, I would like to talk to somebody.
You know who notices this first? Your spouse.
Absolutely.
Right?
They're the
yeah.
ones that are driving
hey,
that decision.
Right. Turn the TV down. You know, it's like I get that all the time.
We,
you know,
we were doing
you and I, 45 years of going to concerts and standing
in the front row, right?
Yeah.
We were part of a pilot program for one of the hearing aid manufacturers, and we had a program where we could put in somebody's hearing test results. So basically, the results would go in, and then we could play back what it sounds like when somebody's talking, if you're in a restaurant setting, if you're listening to TV and music. And it wasn't for the person that we were testing. It was for their caregiver that we were playing back saying, just so you know, this is what how they're hearing this.
Oh, that's a great
idea. And it
idea.
Amazed people, especially, I'm not picking on the women, but they were the first ones to say, I had to drag my husband here. And then when they heard just how much they weren't hearing from what was being said or
right.
in a family gathering, it really opened a lot of eyes of, I didn't realize. And that's what we really try to work with, is it's not just the patient or the client that's coming in, but it's their support system
right.
for them to understand what people are going through.
Yeah, they're
and
living
think,
with it as well.
Right? Yeah, and I think, you know, for, you know, using Rachel's case, for a child, it's hard enough to grasp that something
yeah.
just isn't right. But for parents, it's about, we notice something just isn't
well,
right.
A little kid doesn't know that they're not hearing correctly or enough, right?
They're just kind of pulling into themselves,
yeah.
right? It's a coping mechanism. So with the moms and dads, we do a lot helping them to not only learn, but training of, here's things that you can do day to day in the household that's going to be able to help your child. And, you know, it can be very frustrating. I went through it with my daughter with PTOT. She was, you know, born mm-hmm. early, just like Rachel was. And you don't go on the internet because, man, I'll tell you what, you could get 20 different versions
oh,
of something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you find that right provider and you create that relationship and that right therapist, they change your world.
An organization's been around for 100 years. How about
100
that?
100 years. I guess we've been doing something right.
Yeah, I guess so. So I want to get a test, or my wife wants me to get a test. What do I do? How much does it cost? What do I get? You know, where? Do I need insurance? What's the deal?
You don't need insurance, but we do cover all insurances.
Okay.
So, you know, most of them have a hearing provision
okay.
To be able to work with. We're also one of only two agencies in Monroe County that accept Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay.
So it's part of our not-for-profit mission, right? It's serving the full population. The one thing is we don't bring somebody in, and as soon as you walk in the door, we go, I wonder what kind of hearing aid we can get them in.
Right.
It's
right.
about working with the audiologist.
You need this $6,000 one.
Exactly. Right. right. For us,
yeah.
we turn people away sometimes. We'll do a hearing test and they'll say, like, you know what? You're just not a candidate yet, but let's work on these things to try and conserve what you have right now.
I was just
right
going to say, one of the first things you said when you were introducing what Rochester Hearing and Speech Center does, you said conservation.
Yep.
Yeah. There are programs for that, for me to try to save what I got.
Absolutely. and here's the thing, you know, coming from music, we do a music conservation. So Dr. Greg Horton, who's our director of audiology, was formerly a traveling musician.
Oh, okay.
And this is how he kind of got into audiology. So we have musicians that come from all over the country just to meet with him because they know he understands both sides
right,
of it.
Right, right.
You know, so there's a lot of local musicians. It's not necessarily for hearing aids, but it might be for hearing devices and noise pollution devices that they want to have made. So the easiest thing for people to do, if you go to our website.
I was just going to say, how do we look you up?
It's rhsc.org.
rhsc.org. Okay.
And on there, we have a lot of information. We actually have a 5-minute little hearing screening test that you can take. Now,
okay.
it's not pin perfect, right? Because it's
sure.
through the internet. But it at least gives somebody an idea of if they are honest with their answers of, I might want to make a call to set up. We've got 3 locations, so we're all over Monroe County. We're in Brighton, we're in Greece, and we're in Webster. So we're very convenient for people. And I'd say the first thing to do is just make that initial call.
Right.
And talk
right.
to somebody. Again, don't be afraid that we're seeing you as, you know, a dollar sign for a hearing aid when you walk in the door.
Right.
That is not our mission. Our mission is to be able to serve everybody individually and what their needs are. So tell Tammy we will get you set up for your appointment.
Okay.
It doesn't, it's not painful. It's quick and easy.
Okay.
But I think we
I could use it. I know I could,
help.
You know, because I'll be on a stage at Lilac pretty soon, you know, and I'm up there for all those shows.
Yeah, not only are you dealing with the band and the music, but you're dealing with the crowd noise.
And then, I do parties in the park. Yeah, so I'm on stages all summer doing these bands. Yeah, so I'm there for the duration. September 10th, Locust Hill Country Club celebrating 100 years of Rochester Hearing and Speech Center. And you can get all the information there, too, as well. Again,
RHSC.org.
Okay. And where can we get our haircut, Rachel?
Oh, I am located at Need Salon and Spa. Right around the corner by the Liberty Pole.
Oh, okay.
Right.
You're right downtown.
Across from Parcel 5, yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, it's a really cool spot.
Okay. See, now you know where to go.
Right.
Shake it up a little
there
bit.
There you go. I can walk to it from here.
I know. The weather's getting nice, so you can...
Well, thank you for coming and being an example of the kind of work that's done there.
And, my pleasure.
All right. Bob Russell, Rachel Robach. Thank you very much. Celebrating 100 years, the Rochester Hearing and Speech Center, RHSC.org. Take that test, get yourself tested, and preserve what you still got, too. That's important.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Tino.